Thursday mornings here on Planet 93.9, we get an opportunity to speak about the world of cinema with the movie critic and an editor at the River City's Reader. He is our dear friend Mike Schultz, joining us live here in studio. How you been, Mike?
I've been well. How about you guys?
Terrific.
Okay. Good. Terrific. Yeah, it's been a good week.
This is one of those times of year when all the big motion pictures come out.
Yeah.
And you've got a lot on your plate, although you didn't really...
Not for a while.
You didn't see too much this week.
No, nor this upcoming weekend. It's going to be Wonka or bust, basically.
Just Wonka.
There are a couple things on Netflix, one I already saw, one that's opening tomorrow, so we'll get to that. Yeah, there's some things.
We'll talk about what's opening, but let's talk about what you saw. And we begin with the number one movie in America.
Yeah, how about that?
The Boy and the Heron.
The Boy and the Heron, the new Hayao Miyazaki animated fantasy adventure. Top of the box office, 11 million or something?
Everyone loves
it. Not bad.
Everyone loves it.
Well, yeah.
Except Mike Schultz.
Except you.
I don't know. I've always been a fan of his. I'm not an acolyte, you know. I don't think everything that he does is tremendous. But there are a lot of people who do actually believe that every Miyazaki movie is a cause for celebration. I think some of them are very, very good. Spirited Away is great. Princess Mononoke is great. I don't care for Ponyo. I don't care for Howl's Moving Castle that much. So I'm more on the fence than most people. So this one didn't work for me. Yeah, it's about a kid who's, it's kind of like Godzilla Minus One. It starts in Japan in World War II, and a kid's mother dies in a bombing. And then he gets sent off to live with an aunt who his dad is impregnated. And he finds this heron, this big bird that shows up and says, "Your mother's actually alive, living in a castle in the woods." And so takes him on a magical adventure.
His mother is, the heron is voiced by Kathy Moriarty?
No.
What is that voice you just did?
No, but the heron, I actually saw the dubbed version because I wanted to hear the cast.
Uh-huh.
And it's Robert Pattinson. But he's talking like that troll from Holy Grail, where, "What is your name?"
Oh, I mean, no.
And so it's hysterical. He's really funny. So anyway, he takes this kid to the castle and search for his mother, who he says is alive, and enters this kind of undersea kingdom where he meets relatives at different ages in their lives, and there are giant parakeets, and it's all sorts of Miyazaki weirdness. It just didn't play for me, and it played a lot of similar themes that I've where it's like, I've seen this movie before. I've been through this before, it feels like. And I think a lot of the raves are just thrilled that he's back, because he retired 10 years ago, and he's 82 now, and said, "Yeah, in 2013, that's my last one." And so it's kind of a bonus round, and I think everyone's kind of collectively freaking out about that. But
so it was when Dave was saying, "Everybody loves it. Everyone loves it."
Yeah.
And you were like, "I don't know." It's like, it was almost like, "I don't know what's wrong with me."
Yeah, there's a little bit of that. Oh, for sure. Because this thing is scoring like, this is winning like best animated feature from like every major critics group. And it's, you know, it's getting nominated for tons of awards. And people, as we know, went and saw it. But I'll tell you, I saw it with an audience of like 20, 25 people.
Not everyone was thrilled.
Not everybody.
And
quite a few vocally not liking it.
Okay.
Leaving. Because the ending is intensely dissatisfying. It's like they stopped the movie 15 minutes before the actual end of the movie, where it's like, that's the end? That's it? We're done? And there are a few things that really anger an audience more, I think, than just giving us a bad wrap-up before the credits. So there were a lot of angry-ish patrons as they were leaving. And no kids there at all. Zero children. It was all people like mostly mid-20s, early 30s, but some very vocally unhappy folks. So I'm not alone.
Okay.
I'm just among the critical aloneness.
Interesting that this was the number one movie at the box office, and number two at the box office is Godzilla Minus One.
How about that?
Two Japanese movies dominating the box office.
Yeah.
I don't know that I can remember a time.
Not sure that's ever happened.
Right?
And also Godzilla held up incredibly well in
right.
the second weekend. It only lost like 25% of its audience. I think people are finding it and going, "Oh, this one's special."
I was going to go see it at the Cinemark, and my buddy Mike over here said, "Hang on, it's playing at Last Picture House."
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah. It opens there tomorrow.
So yeah, we'll be going this weekend to see it there at the Last Picture
House. I might catch it again first just because it's so great, but also because with the sound quality they have there, right? That might be sick.
No kidding.
So, yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
You also saw a movie called Eileen. Yeah. I have to confess, I know nothing about this movie.
Okay, yeah. I don't think we even brought it up last week.
We didn't.
Okay, this is a really great, nasty, nasty noir thriller. It's set in the early 60s in Massachusetts, and Thomasin McKenzie plays a young clerk at a boys' correctional center. She lives a really drab life, and she's got a horrible alcoholic father who just treats her abominably. Nobody cares about her. She's just a schlub. And in walks platinum blonde Anne Hathaway as the correctional center's new chief psychologist. Anne Hathaway is the only person in the universe who pays our heroine, Eileen, any attention at all. And so it starts out where the young girl becomes kind of obsessed with the psychologist, and it feels like the psychologist might be using her for reasons unknown, until you start realizing it's actually the other way around, and it's the psychiatrist, this kind of Hitchcock blonde, that you need to be worried about because Eileen's a freak. And bad things are going to happen if you stay too close to Eileen, who is really weirdly psychopathic, and it's expressed in the filmmaking because she has these fantasy scenes of like killing her father and killing herself and stuff, but they don't play them as fantasy scenes. It'll just be the scene is going along and all of a sudden someone will get shot in the face and you're like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Until you realize, oh, that
was just in her head.
That was just in her head. And so you are kept off balance the whole movie going, I don't know if this is actually real or not.
Okay. So this is not a situation where she wants to, she doesn't want to turn into the psychologist.
No, she just wants to be near her and be like her. And it gets ickier and ickier. And about 2/3 of the way in, there is a plot twist that made my jaw drop where I went, oh no, no. You know, like one of those slow boil, like, oh, this is going to be so good. It was a mess of fun. It's like 94 minutes. So it's quick and dirty. And
does it
just
feel like Hitchcock?
Yeah. It feels almost more like 40s noir, like Double Indemnity kind of stuff, but with more gruesome violence.
Yeah.
It felt like a great throwback, and it's kind of a Christmas movie because it ends on Christmas Day, and it's eggnog with strychnine. It's just a nasty little holiday present. It was a treat.
All right.
Yeah. You should look it up. It was good.
It's a theater?
Yeah, that's still here. It's okay. Also in Iowa City, but I think it might be down to like one showing a day because nobody's going. But it could be a word of mouth hit once it starts streaming. It's a vicious little piece of work. I enjoyed it.
The big movie this week is Wonka. This is Timothée Chalamet as Willy Wonka as he embarks on a mission to spread joy through his chocolate, which quickly becomes a phenomenon.
There you go. It's a prequel.
On first blush, my first reaction was, we don't need this. Nobody asked for this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's from the guy that did Paddington.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And it's not getting bad notices.
Yeah.
Most of the reviews so far are like, oh, better than I expected. So there is that, I guess. And I'm not really looking forward to it either, except for the Paddington thing, you know.
Right.
And it's got, what, Olivia Colman and Hugh Grant as an Oompa Loompa. And, you know, how can we not have fun?
Hugh Grant as an Oompa Loompa is what's going to sell a ticket from this one over here.
Okay, yeah, you going?
Well, not only that.
Okay.
Not only is he's an Oompa Loompa, in one of the trailers I saw, he has somehow attached, like wings to himself, and the Oompa Loompa's like flying around.
Oh my, I'm not sure I've seen that. Okay, that sounds creepy.
He's like,
but fun.
Not only am I Oompa Loompa, but I fly around too.
Wow, okay, all right, bring it on. That
yeah,
fun.
We'll see. And it's a musical,
yeah, with like all new songs and some of our favorites from the Gene Wilder.
Well, tell you what, it sounds fanciful.
It will be a fanciful treat.
Are we going to argue about Wonka the way we argue about Bond? Like,
who's the best Wonka?
I mean, it's Gene Wilder, clearly, right?
I don't think anybody fights you on that.
All right. But Timothée Chalamet is angling for second place here, then.
Well, right? Yeah. But from everything I understand, he's not like creepy. Right. Wonka isn't. I mean, right. this is the sweetheart Wonka of your dreams. Okay. You know, he's all
Johnny
chocolate
Depp,
and sugar.
Johnny,
you know?
Depp was just basically playing like somebody who needs to yeah. like. Johnny Depp was playing a Willy Wonka where, you know, the sheriff says you can't trick or treat at his house.
Yes.
Yeah. With one look on his face. Uh-huh. Yeah. With one look on his face the whole time.
He's clearly not been in the sun for decades.
Right. I see where Die Hard has been playing at the Last Picture House, and they're bringing that to Cinemark as well.
Yeah, it's been here for a week already. It's staying for another week.
This
yeah.
is what we're doing now. We're watching Die Hard at the theater for Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, at least it's got a 5 in its anniversary number. I mean, I get it. 35th anniversary. Yeah, sure. Bring it on.
I see where tonight's the last night to see National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation at the Last Picture House. Your last night to see Die Hard at the Last Picture House. And today is the last opportunity to see the Muppets Christmas Carol,
which I still haven't seen. I can't believe I haven't seen that. That just passed me by, and I never got around to it.
They will also now start showing at the Last Picture House Love Actually. Yeah. So if you're someone who loves that movie this time of year, go see it there in downtown Davenport.
20th anniversary. Yeah, right?
Right on.
It's a big year.
You know, Darren saw that movie with Eric Idle.
Really?
Well, we were in the same theater.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't go together.
Sharing a soda?
We didn't go together.
Okay. That would have been cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still pretty cool.
It's tough.
Yeah.
He's Mike Schultz. He's off to go see Wonka Hill. Tell us what he thought about it next week.
And the popcorn.
Yeah. And he's going to have some popcorn.
I'm going to have the popcorn.
I will also have popcorn because I'm going to the Found Footage Festival and I'm going to Godzilla. So we'll have...
But not Godzuki.
Well, I don't know if... Godzuki doesn't show up in Godzilla Minus One,
no.
does he?
No.
All right. Spoiler... We'll probably talk a lot more about popcorn than Wonka next week, but we'll see. He is Mike Schultz, the movie critic and an editor at the River Cities Reader. Read his reviews in the pages of the River Cities Reader and online at rcreader.com. Mike, thanks for popping
Thank
in.
Thank you, guys.